Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 25th of September, recording at 10:06 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. This is the first day where we've seen some reasonably significant downside action coming from Wall Street and a few other markets. The day started quietly, though, in Asia, where maybe a few more markets were down than up, but nothing significant. Ditto Europe, although markets were pretty much up across the boards, because Wall Street had also rallied earlier on in the day. So we had modest gains in Europe, all under 1%. Now, in Europe, I beg your pardon, in the Americas, Wall Street went from a moderate gain to a loss. I'll give you an example. The S&P future, I'm not going to be able to do that because they've just changed the screen on that data. But I can tell you that the S&P 500 index, which had been up at least 5 points at one stage early on in U.S. trading, closed down over 15, and that's at 1441.59. Now, we also had the NASDAQ selling off a little bit more, down 1.36%. The S&P was down over 1%. The news item on Wall Street was that it fell on concern over global GDP growth. My own take on this, well, that's a convenient label, but that it's a matter of fatigue because we have had an awfully good run since the beginning of June, and that had created an overbought condition, which I've mentioned in each of these audios here recently. But what else happened here in these markets in terms of highlights? Brazil, that was hit hard here today, down 2.25%. In long-dated government bonds, the European prices showed small declines, but the U.S. markets rallied as Wall Street deteriorated. U.S. long bonds rallied as Wall Street deteriorated. The U.S. dollar also picked up a bit, but not all that much, and not against the euro here today. The euro is currently trading at 129.06, and the Aussie has come down a little bit, though, 103.90. Sterling slightly lower, 161.96. So it's only a small gain by the U.S. dollar here today. Precious metals were roiled by this action, and we had gold rally up to, let's see if I can find that. Because it's after 10, they've leveled off the prices on the screens, so to start afresh. But gold had been up $12 at one stage, so it was up over 1770 and is currently trading at 1760, nearly 1761. Silver had rallied up to 34.54 at one stage. It's now 33.79. That's down 19 cents. Again, palladium closed to the decline after a rally. Looks like platinum's the only one currently still trading at a gain in here today, but it's only up $6 at 1632, whereas it had been up at 1648. So these are reasonably sharp moves for the sector. Industrial metals all closed higher, but I think they'll be a bit pressed to hold, let alone extend those gains tomorrow, because they closed while Wall Street was still showing some gains. And copper which is trading in the U.S. Well, that's that had been up at 378, but is now down to 372, nearly 373. And most soft commodities were more soft commodities were down than up in here today. The WTI crude is down a dollar, trading at 90.84, and the Brent is down also, trading at around $110. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, it's been a wonderful run, as you know. It's almost been a stealth rally, although it started with a very clear upward dynamic in early June on Wall Street. And we had good follow through and then a ranging upward trend, which established an extensive series of higher highs and higher reaction lows, and then steepened a little bit towards the end of the rally, just as just in anticipation and following the Fed's QE3 announcement. Now, as I say, today's action is not a significant dynamic, but it's certainly a bigger downside day than we've seen for a while. And against that overbought condition and some overextension on some of the indices relative to the 200-day moving average, I think this probably ushers in that somewhat more choppy ranging phase that I have said that I would not be at all surprised to see between now and perhaps the middle of October. So I think this rally has now lost momentum, and we're in a corrective phase. You never know how long these things are going to, one never knows how long these things are going to go on for and how big the moves will be. I wouldn't be surprised if this does break the progression of higher reaction lows that we've seen since early June, but equally, I would be surprised if we saw a major correction at this time, because as I've also been saying in the audios, I didn't feel that there was a real catalyst for that. Now, in terms of individual shares and that NASDAQ move downwards, we have seen Apple drop back fairly sharply here again today. It's now down $31 in the last 2 days from the high that it had seen at 705. So that's not a huge move by any means, but I have mentioned that Apple was overextended relative to its MA once again. Quite overextended, and therefore due for some mean reversion. I posted that, if not, I think I posted that last Friday. Okay, so where do we go from here? Well, I've already mentioned that I would expect a little bit more of a ranging corrective phase in here. The rally was strong enough so that there's a reasonable amount of underlying support overall, but more importantly, I think the upside here is capped for at least the short term. Now, long-dated government bond prices are likely to move a little bit higher if that stock market forecast is borne out. That means yields will move down a little bit further within their ranges, but I suspect that we've got both the highs in for bond prices of this cycle and also the lows in for the yields. But it's early days yet, and we will see. But again, my justification for that comment is not just hope. But the point is, I don't see a big blow up in the euro situation anytime soon, although sentiment will wax and wane from time to time, inevitably, because the problems are not resolved. But Mario Draghi is clearly firmly in charge, And they're moving towards the banking union and other sensible measures, and he's putting pressure on the individual governments to get their own fiscal houses in order, and rightly so. The China factor, well, people have been bearish for quite some time on China, so I'm not at all sure that it's capable of a major fright. I am concerned about the tensions between China and Japan, but hopefully that doesn't go global. As I said in my introduction, I think this is just a little bit of fatigue and vertigo following an extremely good rally. Now, precious metals did move today as they have, well, did move today with stock markets. So at the height of the moderate Wall Street rally today, we had precious metals up near their highs, and they retraced those gains, and with three of the four moving to small losses as Wall Street eased. I've mentioned in a number of audios that the psychological resistance following the blitzing move to the upside that we saw in precious metals that took gold up close to the 1800 level, platinum up a little over the $1700 level, silver up a little over the $35 level, and palladium up at the 700 level. Little psychological resistance levels where we also have some lateral trading from earlier in the year and last year. And that was enough to trip up the rally and lead to a somewhat deeper and longer ranging phase in what I remain pretty much convinced is as certain as one can be in an uncertain field. That this is part of a significant recovery following that big medium-term correction, and that this ranging phase will perhaps play havoc with tight stops in futures contracts, but I don't think poses any kind of major threat to those who are holding the bullion funds, and I do expect higher prices by year-end and possibly significantly so. Now, elsewhere, industrial metals, they've had a good run as well, moving in line with the stock markets for much of that period. They have been overbought as well, consequently. And here also, we see some evidence that the rallies are losing upside momentum. And we're now in a reaction and consolidation phase for the industrial metals as well. Now, how far they pull back will be important in terms of the medium-term outlook in all likelihood. For instance, if they can hold over half of their gains from the lows, then that would bode well for the medium term. On the other hand, if they pull back much more than that, that would suggest a longer time spent in right-hand extension above the lows for these new bases before prices move again to the upside. China's performance will be a big factor, and I've described events in China as looking edgy. I'm referring really to the leadership, all these demonstrations that we've seen mostly against Japan, obviously orchestrated by the government because you can't conduct demonstrations in China or in most other places without a permit. And the disappearance of Xi Jinping and no convincing explanation as to what was going on. So it all suggests a bit of an internal power struggle among the next generation of leaders. and that's mostly behind the scenes, but people are aware of it, and so it's led, as I say, to this sort of edgy situation. And China's been the serial underperformer. So if China drifts a little lower, I don't think it could go much lower. It's down really back near the 2008 upper side of the 2008 trough. But equally, I think some of these uncertainties need to be removed before we can see a significant recovery. And I think we will see that significant recovery because of the stimulative measures that are taking place and will con that I believe will continue to be announced. But we'll see. But China is important in terms of both regional stability within Asia and in terms of the mining sectors that I've mentioned a lot recently. And on that note, an interesting day. All the best.